Welcome to the world of street children in apartheid South Africa, around 25 years ago. For me, the exciting thing about the concept of state crime is that it provides new ways to look at old problems. It makes you look beyond the obvious. It makes you look for the fundamental causes of abuses of power. Children with problems are usually seen as problem children, and researchers usually focus on the problem, not the cause. We look down system, at the victims. But the concept of state crime reminds us that this should just be the first stage of researching those who cause the problems, powerful people and states. An anthropologist, Laura Nader, made the point very eloquently back in 1972. Never before have so few, by their actions and inactions, had the power of life and death over so many of the species. Study the colonizers rather than the colonized, she said. The culture of power rather than the culture of the powerless. The culture of affluence rather than the culture of poverty. Child neglect by state authorities is very obvious anywhere in the world and is arguably a state crime of omission, of a failure of a duty to care. But this case study shows that state crime against children can arise through commission, by deliberate acts. In the present day, we see this in the form of torture and killing of children, a means of state terrorism against families who question a government. Right now, reports from Syria tell of hundreds of missing children, of mutilated young bodies, and of boys being raped by security forces in front of their parents. In North Korea, whole families can apparently be punished for the supposed misdeeds of an adult family member, and forced labour can be a statutory part of school life. Elsewhere, children become involved in large-scale conflicts, sometimes being used as armed soldiers. In Sudan, schoolgirls were raped as a psychological weapon of war. And all this is by states that have signed the Convention on the Rights of the Child, which expressly forbids abuse and affirms that states have a duty to protect children. In 2008, the UN Security Council formally affirmed that rape and other systematic sexual violence can constitute crime against humanity. But other systematic state violence against children is not yet seen in quite the same way. Back in apartheid South Africa, the whole political and social system was deliberately constructed to control, oppress and exploit the so-called non-white population, often through their children. Family life was systematically destroyed, and the schools I saw were oppressive and abusive. Street children were arrested using 19th century childcare laws. This included punishments called the cuts. Children showed me how they'd been beaten to the extent that they bled, the cuts festered, and they were permanently scarred. Unsurprisingly, some children went in search of something better. But once on the streets, they suffered new forms of abuse from the public, police, and security forces. I hope this site inspires new ways to investigate state abuses of power through research with the victims. Vulnerable people not only include children, but migrants, minority ethnic groups, and people with disabilities, especially mental disabilities. This data was all collected a long time ago with a basic film camera, pens and paper. But new technologies present new opportunities. We can use satellite images on Google Maps to identify gulags and mass graves. Voice recorders can be hidden in pens. Mini video cameras are now the size of a USB stick. But of course, these approaches can be dangerous for researchers and victims. So pen and paper still have a role to play. They're relatively safe to carry and use anywhere. Yet they can create data that can be used as evidence in courts and provide the basis for powerful advocacy. But most importantly, drawing is also fun. In the lives of people with serious problems, having fun is one small way for researchers to give back something to those who help them with their research. As this South African data shows, the children were well aware that abusive power relationships surrounded their lives. This was not only depicted in what they drew and what they said, but also in their love of fun. When asked if he knew what social workers were, 12-year-old Tabu thought very carefully and then started to explain. Social workers. Well, first they write your name. And then they write, and 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 then they send you to prison.